This is KSQD Santa Cruz, Community Radio, 90.7 FM. I'm Randa Salak, and you're listening to Good News Santa Cruz, brought to you by the Santa Cruz chapter of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom. Good News Santa Cruz airs every Thursday from 3:30 to 4. We bring you people who are finding real solutions to today's needs, people who want to share ideas, successes, and strategies to connect across issues and achieve systems change. Today, my guest is Emily Salak, Director of Behavioral Health, licensed clinical social worker, and behavioral health provider at Salud para la Gente in Watsonville. Emily, hi. Let's start with, what is behavioral health? Who does it serve, and how did you become involved in it?
The term itself, behavioral health, it refers to the connection between our behaviors, our health, and our well-being. It includes aspects of the mind, the body, and the spirit. So in a way, it's a more inclusive term than just and less stigmatized than the term mental health. It includes substance use, including prevention, treatment, and recovery support services. And it could also be defined as a study of emotions between behaviors, a study of emotions, behaviors, and biology that all relate to a person's mental well-being and their ability to function in everyday life and their concept of self.
But it goes a little further than what we used to call mental health. So how did you get involved with that?
Well, I started as the Director of Behavioral Health in 2016, in May of 2016 at Salud para la Gente. I had worked in a behavioral health department at a different clinic before that for a brief period of time. When I got to Salud, the department was very small. It only had two therapists, not full-time, and there was no director. So we have 11 therapists.
Oh, wow.
Yep, we've grown a lot, and they're not all full-time. There's probably about the equivalent of 8 full-time people. We have a mixture of licensed clinical social workers and licensed marriage and family therapists, as well as some who are working on their hours towards licensure still.
So where is Salud? Do they all work in one place?
Salud has a lot of different sites. It has two large clinics, one of them near the Watsonville Community Hospital, which is an advantage because we're actually attached to the hospital, mm-hmm. and we've been collaborating more and more with Watsonville Hospital. Then we have another site that's right downtown, right next to Watsonville High School. And at that site, we tend to see a lot of the high school kids and a lot of people that live more in downtown Watsonville. We also have a lot of little sites. Some of them are within schools.
And are you working, I'm assuming, mostly in English with Spanish also, or completely bilingual and maybe some other languages too? What are you doing?
We serve, Salud serves the Watsonville community, and we see a lot of monolingual Spanish-speaking uh-huh. patients. We also have some Mixteco and other indigenous patients too. We have one interpreter on staff who helps us with the Mixteco language. Sometimes we do run into dialects that we don't speak. And then, of course, we have all realms of bilingualism as well.
So you said that you have a clinic or at least an office next to Watsonville High School. You see high school kids as one of your programs?
We're trying to do more and more confidential services for teenagers, and so we have a whole setup that they can come over and get confidential services, but of course that only benefits the Watsonville High School kids. So, but yes, to answer your question, we're a primary healthcare clinic, so they can come and get their medical care, they can get preventative care, and they can get counseling as well.
And do they need their parents' permission for that, or it's, you know?
It's confidential. There are some services that are protected that are called sensitive services, and that includes like birth control and family planning, and it also includes mental health care and behavioral health. So if somebody is 12 and up, they can actually consent for their own services without their parents.
How do the kids at Watsonville High know that you're there? Do you talk to them or advertise to them?
We've done presentations at the high school, and I think the staff of the high school is aware, so they also can be a liaison for that.
It seems something that's really needed. What about the other high school in Watsonville? How do they get to you?
They can get to us, but not as easily as just walking across the street. We have a clinic at PV High and at some of the middle schools, so they could go to that clinic too. But we don't have behavioral health at those school clinics. It's very small clinics. So, let's see.
You have other programs going, obviously. You want to tell us a little bit about what kind of programs you're running?
Yes, we have free substance use counseling, which is something that I've been really working on over the past year. We've gotten a few different grants to, as everybody knows, there's an opiate crisis, and you hear about it every time you turn on the news. So we're really doing our part to address the opiate crisis. We're offering free substance use counseling in-house by substance use disorder counselors who are trained in that. It's free of charge because it's grant funded.
Does that mean anybody can walk in off the street and get counseling?
They have to be our patients or be willing to become our patients.
And is there a special requirements to become Salud patients?
No, there is not. They can be uninsured and we will see them. They can, as long as they're not, you know, attached to another clinic, that they really have medical reasons that they should stay at that clinic.
So they don't need to have a primary care person at Salud in any way. They can just walk in off the street, say, I'm willing to become a patient, and use your services?
They will end up getting a primary care provider at our clinic if they walk in off the street and are willing to become our patient.
So that means that you're looking out for their whole well-being, not just their mental well-being.
That's right. Okay. And in our pediatrics department, we have some dedicated staff who do developmental screenings on kids who come to their well child exams.
Wait, so then who do what?
Developmental screening. So they're checking to make sure that they're on track developmentally. They're looking for things like signs of autism and milestones, and they do that on kids that are 0 to around 9 years old right now. So that's another part. It's sort of a part of the behavioral health department as well.
So the parents are bringing in their children to have some kind of screening and see what's going on with them.
The parents just bring their children into like the regular pediatric visit, and this is an extra service that they get. They get developmental screening as well. And then those same screener developmental specialists can also help them with like giving them guidance on how to help the kids thrive and how to help kids meet targets that they might not be meeting too.
So it's some parenting training too.
And I think this is a really unique service that I haven't heard about in other clinics. Usually the pediatrician does some type of screening, but we have much more in-depth support in this way.
So if a parent has a pediatrician at Watsonville Hospital, no, not at Watsonville Hospital.
No, they wouldn't have a pediatrician at the hospital.
Okay, so they would have, if they have a regular pediatrician.
At Salud.
Salud. Mm-hmm. So that pediatrician would automatically do this kind of screening for them or send them to your department?
Right, to the developmental screeners, right. So it's kind of a built-in system, and we're actually working to strengthen that as well and offer even more support to parents and of young children.
And did you say that's a pretty unique program? It's not happening elsewhere in Santa Cruz right now?
Not to that level with in-person support like that.
Yeah. That sounds like something to me as a parent that I would have really appreciated. I think that's a great service.
I agree. And then let's see, what else can I tell you? We also have some groups that we run in the behavioral health department. We have another unique thing we have is a depression group in Spanish that's going into its third year, and I believe it's the only group of its type that I've heard of about in Santa Cruz County. It's been really, I want to say successful in terms of it's 15 weeks of classes, and we've had a lot of people graduate, and even people want to come back for the second, another round and stay in that group.
And what are the who are the people that you're serving in that?
We, from people... Salud patients who have some form of depression.
And their doctors would recommend them to that
Their
group?
Providers can recommend it. Anyone can recommend it. Their behavioral health person, the lactation department, the health coaches. We have so many different providers at Salud, and they're really happy to have an avenue, the whole behavioral health department, to support those needs in their patients.
So part of what your job must be would be coordinating all that. It seems like a big job, but something that sounds so wonderful for healthcare.
Thank you.
Well, do you get good feedback from people? You said some people want to come back even for a second session.
We get great feedback with the depression group. And in general, I think just the providers, the healthcare providers, and all the different providers at Salud are really thankful to have a behavioral health department because they know that they're not specialists in supporting mental health and in their patients, but they want to get that help for their patients. So they really, it adds to provider satisfaction to have a robust behavioral health department to take over that part. Just like it adds to our satisfaction with some of our partnerships that we partner with. For example, we've started a partnership with Monarch Services, who's our local domestic violence partners providers. We have them in the clinic one day a week, and it's really nice to have somebody focus just on that particular piece. It's also the reason why we do that is so that it's actually safer for some women who could. They come to the clinic so often, it could be dental, it could be for their eyes, it could be for a medical appointment. So that
way... The history of some kind of domestic problem.
And that way, in case they're being followed or their phone's being looked at, they can just say they're going to salute for whatever thing, and they can still see a domestic violence person. We also partner with Janus, which is a local drug and alcohol rehabilitation recovery organization. So we actually have, through a grant, we actually have a substance use counselor from Janus and a part-time nurse who works specifically with substance use disorder patients, and they're also in our clinic.
So Janus has a lot of activity up here in North County. Some of the Janus participants can come down to Watsonville to Salud, or you're sending people up here to help them?
Well, Janus actually has a methadone clinic in Watsonville, too. They're North and South County. Mm-hmm. So we get to have, it's just people want to go to their clinic. They're much more likely to get services at the same, all under one roof, than having to send them out to Janus or to Monarch Services. So we're trying to bring as many services as we can under one roof.
That sounds like a really good idea. Is it spreading around the county at all, that idea?
It is. One of the other local clinics contacted me to talk about how they could get in domestic violence or intimate partner violence. It's also referred to as a person like do the similar partnership here in North County, too.
Yeah, so totally sounds like a good idea. So you have community support, it sounds like. What kind of responses have you had to this program? And like, how do you find these clients, or do they find you? And how is it financed? How does the whole thing work?
We get clients who are referred by their provider or their health coach or their perinatal service provider. We do a lot. There's a lot of OB at Salud. So there's actually a lot of, we find a lot of perinatal mood disorders, prenatal and postpartum depression amongst a lot of the women. And we're screening and actively looking for that. And that generates a referral then to the behavioral health department. And I actually have one dedicated therapist, master's level therapist, who's just integrated into the OB department for specifically has expertise in those type of in perinatal mood disorders, so that she can give even more attention to that vulnerable population.
So what happens with a woman who comes in and is depressed after having had a kid, but she has two other children with her? How do you see that woman?
It is a little difficult with the other children. We try to work around it so we can see them when they have childcare, or when the older kids are in school, or we ask if anyone can watch their kids even for just that 1 hour. That's actually another one of our groups, is perinatal wellness. Every now and then they have to bring some of their kids to the group, but we don't really provide childcare, and childcare along with transportation is always a barrier for families.
So that's the perinatal group. What else are you doing there?
We have the depression group, the perinatal wellness group. We have group developmental screenings with the screenings I was telling you about. We've had we just started a chronic pain group.
Really?
And we have we've had a teen group in the past, and we're planning to have another teen group pretty soon.
So for a chronic pain group, meaning they're getting their care at Salud, but here they're getting the mental part of it where they can share with other people what's going on for them?
It's like a educational group that teaches them different things that they can do for chronic pain, and at the same time they get to have an individual 10 minutes with a medical provider as well. So they might do like stretching, yoga, and yes, share ideas among each other about what's worked for them too.
Right. So this is especially useful for people who can't afford a separate therapist, for instance, but really know they have some issue. How do you reach out to people who might not know they have those kind of issues?
I think the Latino population in Watsonville, which is primarily Latino, really trust their medical providers. And if a medical provider says, I think this would be good for you, then often they will try it, even though it's kind of outside of their comfort zone. And actually, the whole concept of counseling is still quite stigmatized in the Latino population. It's not popular like the way it is among like an Anglo population, like got to go see my counselor. And it's like a cool thing. It's more of a, why are you doing that? And still some different generations, also there's variants in different generations, but we're trying to work on breaking that stigma down. And I think partly it helps having the therapist right in the clinic where their medical care is provided.
And the more people who use that, then the word goes out that you're also another part of their trusted healthcare.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We're part of the team.
What size is it? Clinic are we talking about? Are you talking about hundreds of patients or?
Well, I just got some statistics from a report recently that we saw 8,700